The Ross Owen Show is sponsored by DDayHistorian.com.
Hello, my name is Rick Gomez, and I play George Luz in Band of Brothers, and you're listening to my best friend, Ross Owen, on Black Sky Radio.
Brian left back home to sing the world his song, mate, said he never go. Going down a rusty road, Jimi Hendrix playing on the radio. He just wants to fly away, show the world he'll be a star. He's driving all night and day for the chance to play his worn out guitar. He never knew the hopes he made, so 4,000 people stood and prayed.
It's that time of the day or night, wherever you are listening from. We have with us on the phone right now our friend Scott Grimes. Scotty, thanks for coming on.
My friend, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Now, you have been so busy over this, well, certainly for the past week. I know you've been tied up with rehearsals for this big show tomorrow, but what I want to bring up first is Banned from TV is sort of, tell us about that first. For those who don't know what Banned from TV is, tell us a wee bit about that.
Banned from TV is as cheesy as it sounds, but in a great way. It's a group of actors, because you know the old thing. All rock stars want to be actors, and all actors want to be rock stars. So it was it's a group of actors that got together and said, hey, we're going to sing some cheesy cover songs, and we're going to perform in front of people for charity and make money. So it was Hugh Laurie. You know who Hugh Laurie is, obviously.
Oh, yes.
From House, and a guy named Greg Grunberg, and Jesse Spencer from Chicago Fire, and Bob Guinea. They all started this band of actors that it sounds, you know, weird at first, but we put on a great show, and we've raised almost $5 million for charity in the last 5 years. So
wow,
yeah, it's pretty great. And we shake our butts up there and pretend not to suck, really.
Listen, I've watched some of the clips online, and I think they're absolutely fantastic. And when you mentioned Hugh Laurie, it blew me away when I heard him singing. I couldn't believe it. And he plays the piano.
He's
and
great. He's a piano player. Like, as good of an actor that he is, he's 20 times better piano player. He's amazing.
Did you? Not to interrupt, Ross, but this is something I watched something on PBS. I believe Hugh Laurie went across the southern states and ended up in New Orleans, and he stopped in all these honky tonks,
dude,
and played and sang. It was amazing.
Yeah, and he plays with he gets. For these monsters, these amazing soul musicians, to want to play with him means that's how good he is, you know. And he did that, and he made a great record, and he's the real deal. He's the real deal.
I love that guy.
Now the show itself tomorrow, that's what's going on. It's for your hometown. Now you've done. It's not the first time you've done this, is it?
No. It's about, I would say, about the fourth or fifth, and. As you know, I mean, as everyone knows, you know, music and arts in schools is usually the first thing that's cut, the budget, and they don't have any money for it. And instruments cost a pretty penny, you know. So I thought I would just help out if I could, because, I mean, I don't think I'm really anybody special, but in my hometown, you know, I might be a little bit more than some think. I made it somewhere, and to lend that semi-celebrity to raising money for the school is feels great, man. And the kids just, they enjoy it, and you put kids on a stage, and when kids are on a stage, they have confidence, and I just think it clears up a lot of problems that a lot of children have growing up with, you know, burying their face in social media. Instead, they grab an instrument, and they stand on a stage, and they get applauded for it, and I think I think it's very important. Part of it is, you know, I love putting something together, this is all me and Bob Guinea. We put this together. I'm literally moving the speakers. You know, I'm doing everything. And there's just a part of me that, as an actor, you don't really get to build anything. You know, I'm not a construction guy. So to actually be responsible for putting something together, whether it's good or bad, makes me feel good, you know? And the look, and really, I know this sounds as cheesy as it gets, but when you see a kid accomplish something, when he's up there on stage and smiles, and, you know, that night goes home and says, I did that. It's something that, because it's how I grew up. I mean, I grew up, my parents put me on a stage, like, okay, sing in front of these people, and I would, and I'd be nervous, and, you know, sometimes, you know, scared, but the feeling you get afterwards, man, we all have it. We all, you know, it's tackling any fear, and how you feel afterwards, and the look on these kids' faces, it's worth it, and it gets me free dinner at the dinner spots here, really.
Now, tell us what people can expect to see in the show.
Well, this one I did specifically for the kids. So Bob Guinea and I, we could show up and just do our show and stand up there and you know, pretend we're awesome or whatever. But this one I wanted to incorporate the kids. So even if Bob and I are singing, like, a kid will grab an instrument and play with us, or a group of kids will come and sing with us. Every song is really, like, because, you know, the parents here, they want to see their kids. You know, they bought the ticket to see their kids up on a stage. And I just didn't want it to make it just all about Bob and I singing. We can do that anywhere. So the kids are really, really incorporated in the show. And it's, you know, it's a variety show. It's at my high school. You know, so, and there's no booze. So actually, you got to do your best to make people happy and be good.
Now, one of the other things we wanted to talk about was we missed you in Normandy last year. It was such a shame you couldn't make it along. Because the show, this show that we're on just now is now sponsored by ddayhistorian.com, which is fantastic news because they do a great job over in Normandy. And Paul Woodage, who runs that company, has said to me to tell you, if you ever want to go to Normandy, they will look after you if you want to go there and visit anytime.
I really do, man. And I really feel like if I talked about Band of Brothers once a year for 15 years, every year my stories and attitude would change. That's how strong that was for me. And I remember, like, my answers would be a little bit different if you asked me the same exact questions that we talked years ago, because mm-hmm. of how powerful Band of Brothers was. And my point is, it would get to, like, everyone's going to Normandy, Scott, and the guys are getting together, and I would actually get a little nervous, like, oh my God, as much as I want to go, I'm going to have to, you know, relive Band of Brothers. And that was years ago, and now I'm at this place where I love to talk about Band of Brothers, and I want to see the guys, and I want to hang out and support and all that. But there was a time when it was like, that was, you know, I can't hear the music to Band of Brothers without crying or bringing back all these memories. Mm. So it's neat now where my head's at when it comes to Band of Brothers, you know.
Sure. Now, I think we've got someone calling in with a question.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hi, we can hear you, caller. You're on the line with Scott Grimes. What's your question?
My question for Scott was, what was the hardest day of the shoot on Band of Brothers?
Well, the question that'll make all my Band of Brothers laugh is the hardest day was every day. it was one of those projects where every day was really difficult just because of what they asked of us and what we are asking of ourselves. But if I had to pin it down, it would be a day, and Donnie Wahlberg would definitely agree with me. It was the attack on Carrington, and when we were all on this road, I haven't seen it in years, but if you remember, we're all lined up on this kind of hill road, but it was a road about to go in. And it was 400 guys, you know, 400 extras, 500 maybe even more. And it happened to be the only day in London where it didn't rain, and which is funny, It was like 110 degrees, and we're in all of our gear, and normally we're complaining about the rain, but this time it was just boiling. And we all had chocolate hidden in our uniforms just because we were hungry. That was melted, it was gone, and it was just so miserable. And they fed us a lunch and we didn't have any tables, and I know I'm sitting here moaning about something, but there was something about that day where I think both Donnie and I and a bunch of other guys just kind of threw everything down and went, we're not doing this anymore. And it was more a test of should we quit. And the great thing about that day, as bad as it was, I do think of that day as a turning point, because if anything was going to make us quit, it was going to be that miserable day. But what we did is we discovered, and I don't know if guys have talked about this, but we discovered little games we could start playing with things. Like, you could pick up a rock on the ground and create a game with it. And you had a spoon in your pack. You'd take a spoon and you'd play rock baseball, and you'd pitch it. Someone, or Rick Gomez would hit the spoon, and so those kind of things came from days like that. Those, which, by the way, I'm pretty sure guys in actual combat came up with those exact games. We didn't make them up. You know, there's just something about using what you see around you to pass the time. But that would be the worst. That would be the worst day, I would tell you. It was pretty miserable. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Does that answer your question, caller?
It does. I've got one more question.
Sure.
Yeah.
Out of all the cast, who was your favorite Scotsman, Scott? Who's your favorite red-headed Scotsman?
I knew it, first of all. Let me tell you this. First of all, I knew it, and then you put that American accent on, you dope. And I'm like, wait, maybe it isn't him. Maybe it's not him. What's up, my brother? How are you?
I'm very well, man. It's lovely to hear you.
It's so great, because you do have a very distinctive voice, and I haven't seen you in so many years. But I was really hoping it was you, and then I was quite disappointed when I thought it wasn't. So,
man, I'm touched.
A full range of emotions. How are you, brother? It's so
I'm
cool.
I'm very well.
On the phone we have Robin Lang, who played Babe Heffron in Band of Brothers. And a lot of people in the chat room thought it was James Madio calling in there.
Oh, well, if James called, I mean, you can't deny his voice, man.
No, absolutely not.
Right?
Absolutely.
But it's so neat that Robin's on the phone, because it brings up something that I can only talk about when I feel it. And, you know, it's not... I don't disclude anybody, but when there's two guys that were in Band of Brothers talking on the phone, like, I feel it's like a music group. It's like a band, you know. I know it is a Band of Brothers, but yes. It's like, we, you know, I do equate it to, I've never been on a pro sports team, but I can imagine when you're on a pro sports team and you play for, you know, 15 years, and then 20 years later you run into someone that was on your team, there's just that connection. There's just something that they have, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It sounds like maybe a corny thing or something, where you know, especially even amongst actors, they talk about, it was such a good job, and I made such good friends. And you do throughout your acting life, you pick up friends along the way, and you know, I always feel if you make one good friend from a job that stays with you, from each job, I feel like I've done well, you know. And but literally everybody. I know to the day I die, if I bump into somebody, anybody from Band of Brothers, we just, you know, it was like that last year in Normandy. You know, I literally hadn't seen some of those guys for 15 years. And yet, it was just, we just fell into a groove and rubbed along together.
Yeah,
and
it's a secret. It's a secret only you know, right? I don't know. It's a comfort, too, that I really... I've never had, you know, obviously I've never been in combat, nor have I been on a team, you know, like a pro team, but I like the feeling a lot. I really do.
Scott, when you were on air, I think it was the first time or the second time you were on air, and someone asked you, someone sent in a question asking you if you had ever jumped out of a plane for real. That was the moment that planted the seed for Jumping for Heroes, the Band of Brothers cast Jump, which...
Oh, really?
Eventually we did, and we raised that money, and we got it, helped to get towards getting the statue in Normandy. So that was all down to your interview on the show and just talking about it. So it shows a lot of good can come from these interviews.
Yeah, and I wouldn't do it today. I'm 44 years old, and I have a couple of kids. I ain't jumping out of nothing. But here's my question. So now I have a question for Robin. Robin. Yeah, if you could do it all again, every single day is exactly the same at Band of Brothers. Every single bad moment, every single cold moment, you know, all the miserable times, all the good times. Would you do it exact? Would you do it again?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I don't think I would change a single thing.
Me neither, actually. Yeah, I was much more of a pussy back then, and I'm less of a pussy now. So I would like to try it again and make, I don't know, better decisions on things that I didn't bitch and moan about, you know, at the time I bitched and moaned about. I still did them, right? But I definitely bitched and moaned about a few things that I shouldn't have. But it was a great time, and I would do it all again and not change
a thing.
It was
incredible. It's funny you mentioned it. I was there for Carentan, but you mentioned in the hot day. I seem to remember before, there's a whole sequence. Sobel turns up again. It's the first time anyone's seen him since... it must be episode 3. Anyone's seen him since Tekoa? And we're all getting ready to jump, you know, and Joe Toy does that whole thing where he lists everything that he's got to carry on this jump with him. And I remember that being a baking hot day, and we were on the tarmac, you know, we were on the asphalt all day, and we were in full uniform, we were in May Wests, we had reserve shoots, full shoots, and that was the first time. It was only like my first week or fortnight that I'd been there, and I remember thinking, wow, this is tough. And then cut to about 5 months later, and I don't know if you were around for episode 8, which was pretty much a month of night shoots. We were, and it rained, I wasn't
in the original script. Robin Malarkey led that patrol, right, that night patrol. And then for some weird reason, I got a call that someone got a call from Don Malarkey that he had been given the script or something like that. And he said, I was not on that patrol. I was so happy. I was so happy because it was 3 weeks of night shoots, man, and you guys were in the water, right?
Yeah, and it just rained. It rained constantly. Yeah. I remember coming in one morning and the big tent that we all got changed in had floated away.
Yeah.
It kind of it floated about 3 or 4 meters away. And Richie, you remember Richie Rich? He was just standing going, oh no, yeah. Man, the tent's floated away, man.
Yeah.
He didn't care. He was smoking something every day.
Yeah, man. He was. He looked like, yeah, he was like from a Kula Shaker video or something. He looked,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But there was that, man. That was pretty nuts. You guys really put yourselves out there. But look at it. Look at that patrol. That whole thing is some excellent work.
It was great.
Yeah. Tom and Steven, man, they knew something. They just, because I can't think that it's just all by accident. I think that those guys knew that let's make these guys as miserable as possible in their real lives. So that because anger is still some sort of emotion and grounds you and weights you down. So, yeah. And that's what it did, you know, it really worked.
Yeah, it did. And there was a real feeling. I mean, I don't know if it was a conscious decision. I can't remember. I think I remembered Captain Dye speaking about it and saying that they tried to engender that kind of division between the original men and the replacements and
yeah,
that kind
I didn't
of
like
thing.
That.
I think it slightly backfired on them.
Yeah,
possibly.
Because you know what? Here's the other thing, Robin. I couldn't tell you. The great thing about that is I can't tell you. Boot camp, as great as it was such a small part of that production that I can't tell you who was there and who wasn't. And I like that. I don't care. You know, I did know there. You know, there were people that actors that came in and did one episode here and there. But I tried to be that guy. Maybe Malarkey was like this. I don't know. Maybe it was an instinctive thing that I tried to do. But I tried to do the opposite. I tried to, you know, help out and help. You know, because I would want help too in that situation.
Yeah.
So
I like to think I did that as well.
I do remember a story that I probably told in the past that I just loved, which was the moment I realized that I was on a team, that I was with a group of guys that would, for better or for worse, would never. And that's it's when we went to when we went to Switzerland, to Interlock in Switzerland to film the episode 9. I missed the charter flight because I was asleep. I was jet lagged and I missed the flight and then I missed the next one. So they said, you got to get here, man. We're going to be filming. So I jumped on a train. I jumped on a train in London and took it all the way to Interlock in Switzerland, which was rad, by the way. It was a great choice. And then, so I get off the train in Interlaken, which looks the train station there, and it looks like like Disneyland. It's like it's just a fairy tale place. Yeah. No one's in the street. I look to the right, I look to the left. I guess I'm at my bags, and I'm like, I guess I'll go left, and I start walking down the street, and I start coming to this main road, and I see this. There's only one kind of bar that's kind of hopping, and you hear some crowd noise in it. And as I walk past this bar, I think it was Ross. Ross McCall runs out, almost like somebody pushed him. You know, he just stumbles out. And I say, Ross. And he goes, he looks at me and goes, Scott, hey, man, we're about to get in a fight. And he runs back in. And I'm like, and again, here was the, even though I was a pussy, I was like, shit, these are my guys, man. And I put my bags down. I went in, and it was nothing that ended up happening. But it was that moment of, okay, I just got off a train. This guy just asked me to fight with him. I'm going to go. I have to, right? So that was the moment I'm like, oh, these are the boys that I love and hate during the day, but I'll do anything for them. So, but no
Absolutely.
Fight happened. Yeah. It was cool.
I didn't know that.
yeah. I think, well, there was another group of guys at the hotel playing poker, and I ended up, losing a lot of money that night to them as well, and it was a big night.
I think my everlasting memory of Switzerland was flying home with Rick Gomez on a little 30-seater twin-prop plane, which he was absolutely terrified of, and he made me play chess with him for about 3 hours solid, just to get through the flight.
Yeah.
He was just
there you go.
I'd go, and checkmate. He'd go, great, set him up again. That was it.
He'd just need something
to stare at and concentrate on. Because every time he looked up, he'd go, God, this plane is so small. How does it stay up? I don't understand how it stays up. It's so small.
You're teaching him the laws of aerodynamics and wind.
See, the wing's got this shape, right?
Yeah.
Recently, it was Robin's birthday, and as a surprise, We managed to get a few of the guys, the actors from Band of Brothers, to record a video. And one video stood out, Scott, and that was yours. Remember that?
You have to remind me. I think you have to remind me what I did. I'm assuming it was goofy and gross and had something to do with me having a love affair with him. I don't know. It could be anything.
I think you kept reminding him about his 50th birthday.
Very funny. It made me laugh a lot. I mean, a lot of the videos, all the videos were very touching, but yours was very, very funny. There was about, I don't know, Ross, what do you say? It was about...
It must be about 12 or 15 videos.
Yeah, but in the room.
Oh, wow.
In the room. Yeah, I was telling Scott that there was an uproar when his video came on. I mean, it was full. It was great. It was absolute. It went down very well. You sang Happy Birthday to the theme of Band of Brothers.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now, yeah.
That's where were you? You looked like you were out for a run in a park or something.
I think, if I remember correctly, yeah, I wasn't out for a run. You're being too cute. I could say right now, yes, I was at the end of a six-hour run, but no, I think I was outside of a buddy's house, and we were just about to go get a couple pints, and I just threw it together real quick. And sometimes if you think about it too much, I think I'm a little bit funnier and grosser when I just kind of do it. And it's you, brother. It's really, you're an excellent dude, and it was pretty easy to be kind and honest when it comes to you.
Well, it was hugely touching. All of you guys were, but yours was touching and funny. Thanks, man. Thank you. I am, just for the avoidance of any doubt for listeners, I am only 40.
Oh, that's right. sure. Okay. You tell them whatever you want, Robin. I'm older than you, Robin, so I can't talk. I'm 44.
I was a youngster, man. Feels like all you guys were a bit older than me. You know, I saw Frank this year. Well, last summer when I saw Frank Hughes, and I was like, he said to me, how old are you, Robin? You know, and I said, well, my next birthday is 40, and he and Jelena looked at each other, you know, and they kind of just shook their heads sort of wistfully.
I'll tell you, when we were in Normandy last year, and when Robin arrived with Nick. We met them at the station. It was quite late, wasn't it, Robin? It was quite late by the time we got you. It was maybe almost midnight. And Ross McCall, Frank John Hughes, Rick Gomez in the room and in their complex. So we got back to the complex, and I went up and tipped them off. I said, listen, that's Robin and Nick here. Shall I bring them up? Because I think it had been 15 years since you saw each other. Yeah, so... As I'm leaving the room, I think Rick Gomez was the instigator here. I heard him saying, right, here's what we're going to do. So, do you remember what they did to Nick when he walked in? Nick walks into the room. He hasn't seen the guys for 15 years. They're all sitting around a table. They all looked over and went, hey, Nick. And then all turned their backs on him and carried on talking like like he'd never been away. It was just so funny at the time.
And that's course, great, man. That's exactly what it was like, and you know, and a lot of these guys spent more time than I did, because I had a little baby daughter, and I was married at the time, and so I didn't really get to hang out as much. But even having said that, they were as close as I've never had any brothers, so I have so many of them now.
I think it's fantastic. All you guys have got families now, and you all still keep in touch. A lot of you still go to the barbecue at Cudlitz Place every year. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And the fact that, Robin, you've called in without any hesitation, we thought we'd give him a chance to get his own back for the video. And get
No, what a great surprise, and I'm thrilled to hear his voice always.
You never answered who your favorite Scotsman was, though.
It has to be. I'm going to say me. I'm Scottish. Does that count?
Well, yeah, there you go.
Do you really have Scottish in you?
Yeah.
Really?
There's a bunch of jokes here, but I'm not going to say.
I was going to say. So let's not talk about the next shoots again.
Oh. Yeah. There it is. There it is.
You keep tossing them up. I'll keep alley-ooping them.
Exactly, man. I don't know if you get this, Robin, where I definitely have people still come up to me like, hey, man, Band of Brothers is great. Why didn't you guys do another one? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, yeah, you guys didn't do like a second season. I'm like, the fucking war ended.
We're still waiting for the sequel war to show up.
Yeah, I know, right? But then I start to question. I'm like, yeah, why didn't we come up with some shit?
Kind of, I don't know. So, as you know, I mean, I would, you know, a one-legged Frank Hughes would be basically in construction. That would be, yeah. You know, that would be one story.
You're right. That's great. That's a great idea.
You guys could have just turned it into a TV show like the Rat Patrol. You remember that one?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Every week you just go out and do a different explosion and come on home.
Yeah, that's great. It's a good idea.
I'd watch
it. It's a great idea.
Scott, you're doing this big show tomorrow. We're going to get you to introduce the next song, and it's you.
Okay.
And it's the song about your hometown. But before you introduce it, I want to thank Robin for calling in. And it's always, Robin, it's always a pleasure talking to you on the show. You're going to come back on and be our guest for the night sometime in the future?
Absolutely, if you'll have me, yeah.
Of course we'll have you. And
yeah.
And we're also going to we're going to dedicate a show to your son as well. He's bribing me to get him on.
He's going to rule the world, that kid.
Cool.
Honestly, it's terrifying.
Such a great kid. Funny,
frankly,
funny.
It's terrifying. The only solace I can take is that it's likely I won't die in penury, you know, which is always looked likely as an actor. But I think, yeah, he'll probably at some point be in charge of pretty much everything. So I think I'm going to be fine, despite my lack of pension fund.
You'll be fine. Well,
Robin, man, I love you. I love you, pal. What a great treat this is. I hope to see you very soon, buddy.
Thank you. It's a great show, okay?
Love you.
Okay. Lots of love. Bye.
Thanks, Robin.
Cheers. I'll speak to you soon.
Take care, buddy.
Bye, Nightmare.
Cheers, mate.
Bye, Robin. Have a great night.
Scott, I'm going to get introduce your song. So tell us again, how can people donate and help the cause?
They can donate. They can go to GoFundMe, and it's the Guinea Grimes page. Guinea, G-U-I-N-E-Y, Grimes, G-R-I-M-E-S. And we're just trying to get to $6,000, and that's going to help them out so much, and we're real close. So if you go to GoFundMe and do that, the show's tomorrow night, and the song is a song called Home. And after the Boston Marathon bombings, my buddy Alan Doyle and I, he's a great Newfoundland singer, and he also played Alan Adale in Robin Hood. We did that together. We wrote this song kind of about going home and wanting to, you know, kind of go back to your roots, and because that's the first thing I thought of when those bombs happened. I'm like, oh, God, how can I help? How can I go home and help? And it turned into kind of a little love story about going home. So it's called I'm Going Home. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Scott, we're going to play that for you right now for everybody who's listening. Thanks for being the man again, calling in at the drop of a hat. We really appreciate it. We wish you all the best with the show tomorrow. We know you've worked very hard to make it a success, and I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you for the support always, and I love you guys, and anytime you want to chat, it's always just a great time.
Cheers, man.
We'll
try our best to raise that $6,000 for you.
Thank you, buddy. Pounds is fine, too. It could be. Yeah, sure will, bud. Be well, guys.
Okay, Scotty. Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
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 When I'm alone, when I lie awake, all I see, steps I've yet to take. I wonder if I'll ever see the sun, or if this darkest night is the best I might have done. Did I run right past the rainbow and the gold, chasing every spotlight up and down? My weary shoes are broken through the soul. I gotta feel my feet on holy ground. I'm going home, this time it's for good. I'm going home, I hope it's understood. A rambling boy like me. Single broken heart I left behind. places I had to go before I heard the lonesome whistle of a train, and the circus car was crying for a clown. Every night I painted on a smiling face, and I prayed the carnival would turn around. So I'm going home.
Hello, this is Richard Speight Jr. You are listening to
Black Sky Radio.
Yeah, which makes you awesome, because it's awesome.
Hi, I'm Paul Woodedge, D-Day historian, a battlefield tour guide in Normandy, France. I offer tours of the D-Day landing beaches of 1944, along with my partner Magali. If you would like to find out more, see my website at www.ddayhistorian.com and my partner Magali's at www.ddayforyou.com. I am proud to be supporting the Ross Owen Show.
Black Sky Radio.